Studies show that unemployment will remain at the top of a list of problems which governments have to grapple with in the future. The recent coronavirus pandemic also led to a significant rise in unemployment worldwide, and the Islamic Republic of Iran was no exception. The pandemic had its maximum effect on unemployment in the spring of 2020. 1399 on the Iranian calendar, when 1.5 million people had become unemployed directly as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. Gradually, this figure was reduced, and in the winter of 2021, or winter of 1399 on the Iranian calendar, it reached its minimum figure of 300,000 unemployed. Many economists believe that high-tech science and innovation play a bigger role in economic development of countries compared to volume of investments and a free market. In order to achieve a knowledge-based economy, production, manufacturing, education and training on their own are not enough. Rather, the key point is to use applied science and applied technology to boost production and manufacture. In other words, pure science needs to be made applicable and practical, and effectively used to make optimum use of the country's resources. This is one of the great advantages of knowledge-based economy. Increased importance of knowledge provides great potential for countries to strengthen their economic and social development by providing more efficient ways of producing goods and services and delivering them more effectively and at lower costs to a greater number of people. The relationship between economic growth and unemployment shows that there is a high correlation between economic growth rate and a decrease in unemployment rates. An increase in the growth rate increases the unemployment rate or decreases the unemployment rate. Since knowledge-based companies contribute significantly to economic growth in Iran, they also play an important role in reducing unemployment in the country. In a knowledge-based economy, the development of knowledge and skills leads to innovation, which in turn will lead to increase in productivity and increase in revenues, and this will result in a decrease in unemployment. In his statement on the second phase or the second step of the Islamic Revolution, the leader Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei declared, "The Islamic Revolution became the driving force for advancement of science and technology in this country, and we can see the fruits of this today quite clearly. Today, literally thousands of high-tech, knowledge-based companies are active throughout the Islamic Republic of Iran in such fields as stem cell research, biotechnology, nanotechnology, the nuclear fuel cycle, aerospace and space research, etc. We have seen our non-oil exports grow 60-fold. The number of our production and manufacturing units have grown 10-fold. We have seen the transformation of our industries to modern state-of-the-art industries. And we have become a significant research and development country in the world." The development of knowledge economy is dependent on four main pillars. These are innovation, new technologies, human capital, and enterprise dynamics. Knowledge-based companies produce added value and they create wealth. And this is the driving engine for economic growth. As the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei has clearly stated, manufacturing and production through knowledge-based companies will lead to economic growth and a decrease in unemployment.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیکم dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to the program The Muslim Lady. This is your host Zainab and I have with me Siddiqa. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
A very warm welcome, Siddiqa.
Thank you very much.
Dear listeners, Siddiqa is a student of jurisprudence in the Hawza Ilmi of Qom and she's also a researcher. She researches a lot on the issues related to women. So here we are to discuss another issue, that's abortion. Siddiqa, in our previous episode, we discussed something regarding abortion. We discussed what is abortion, how does Islam define it, and what are the different viewpoints, Islamic views and secular views, why Islam does not support the absolute right to abortion. Now we have a question that, does the regulation on abortion mean a regulation and control over women's body?
So this is an argument that's posed quite a lot by people who want to say that we have an absolute right to abortion.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, right now, per year, there are about 40 to 50 million abortions per year that happen. A lot of these, the arguments that are posed by those who support abortion say, first, it's a woman's body, therefore she has absolute right over what she wants to do with her body.
Okay. We keep on seeing those placards, it's my body, my choice.
Exactly. While there's a truth to it in the secular world, my body, my choice, there should also be an understanding that every action has a consequence.
Yeah.
If there is a consensual relationship without the necessary contraceptives used, now I can understand there would be issues where a contraceptive would fail, but if two consensual adults get into a relationship, then they need to be aware that their relationship without the necessary precautions will have a consequence. Now, yes, that consequence is an independent identity. Just as a woman has an independent identity and an independent body, that child, that fetus as well, has an independent identity and an independent body.
All right.
Therefore, we are supposed to choose over here the right to life over the right of a woman over her body. Now, once she has, in all, across the whole platform, whether it be secular or religious,
yeah,
the right to life holds greater value than the right to one's own body. If I have made a choice and I have a consequence to deal with it, whether I like it or not,
mm-hmm,
it is a result of my choices. Now, over here, we are talking about a very broad spectrum. We're not going into the nitty-gritty of what if she was raped? What if it was unconsensual,
yeah,
relationship? What if? We're not going to the what ifs. We are looking, as we said in the first episode, we are looking at a very broad spectrum that, yeah, viable, safe pregnancy out of two consensual adults who have entered a relationship.
Yeah.
Now, because Islam gives marriage and family planning such important value, Now then they come about and say, look, you're regulating my body. That means you want to control my body. And this goes back to the idea that men want to control women's body.
All right. Now, again, Islam, those false slogans of feminism and all.
Exactly. Now, let's say if that child were to be a female, right? And if someone wants to abort the child because it's female, we would still come back with feminism, right?
Yeah.
You're aborting a female child. Feminism has its own criteria and its own discussions and views. But when it comes to regulation, first, Islam is not regulated by man or woman. It's regulated by Allah, who is not gender-based.
True.
This is something that's very odd in the world today. If you call Allah he, because in Arabic, Allah is referred to as hu Allah,
yeah.
Because the male pronoun is used, therefore they come back with the argument that Allah is a male. Why don't you call Allah with a female pronoun?
All right.
Which is rather absurd because Allah is not a human being to have a male or a female pronoun to
identity,
him.
Yeah.
It's just because the language has only two pronouns to use, male or female. We don't have a choice over here. So first, the regulation around abortion is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not by male
not
or female.
Not by humans. Well, we'll discuss more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Muslim Lady. I'm with Sadiqa and we're discussing different forms of abortion. And Sadiqa's throwing light on the topic in the different dimensions. Yes, Sadiqa.
So like we were discussing, the idea that is regulation around abortion within the Islamic framework by a male or a female. And we say this by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is not gender-based. It's just that we use the male pronoun because language gives us only two pronouns. And using it for Allah is quite insulting.
Yeah.
Using it for any person is insulting. So therefore, the next thing is, when it comes to regulating abortion, now in the secular world, yes, there are some cases where ectopic pregnancies are regulated, abortion in cases of rape is regulated, where women are not allowed abortion, but that's in the secular world. We are looking at the Islamic world.
So does Islam have different views, different set of rules?
Yes, Islam has very different views for every case, right? Okay. Because it is supposed to be an all-encompassing religion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes to regulating abortion in Islam, it is regulating the right of life of another being. It's not regulating the mother's body. This is something we need to take into account. Regulations on abortion in Islam are regulating the right of life of another child, not the body of the mother.
Okay.
Right? And when we look at it this way, then we move away from the regulating the woman's body theory. Because now the right of life of another being takes precedence over other issues around. After this, then they come with the idea that a woman has been raped or a 9-year-old girl was raped, as it has happened recently, where she got pregnant and giving birth to the child would put immense pressure on her that it could potentially harm her for life.
Okay.
Now, in these cases, in every individual case, Islam has its own laws.
So what does Islam say about a woman who was not actually involved with another guy in a relationship with her own choice? And indirectly, we say, like, she was raped. What if a child comes into existence over here?
So I'm going to give first a very general set of rulings, which is part of the Iranian constitution.
Okay.
As it has been
Which is
researched.
Based on Islam itself.
Yes. Now, this is a very general, okay? We'll go case by case later. But in a very general, abortions can only be performed under a few specific conditions.
Okay.
The fetus must be less than 4 months of age. And that is mainly because, like we said, ensoulment happens after 4 months, where the soul enters.
Enters the body.
And then the child is seen as a complete being already.
Yeah.
Because the primary focus in Islam is the soul.
Yes.
And there's a whole very intensive philosophical view on what the body is.
Yeah.
Right?
We would want to know more about those rules of the Constitution after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Muslim Lady, Amit Siddiqa, and we're discussing abortion. And right now, she's talking about the rules of the Iranian constitution, which are in itself based on Islam regarding abortion. Yes, Siddiqa.
So, according to the first one was that the fetus must be less than 4 months of age and it must be before ensoulment. Ensoulment is technically seen as occurring around 20 weeks of gestation. And then the second condition, it must be that the fetus must be suffering from profound development delay or deformations and malformations that today through science we're easily able to
recognize.
Yes, quite quickly as well. These fetal problems may also cause extreme suffering or hardship for the parents, or the life of the mother should be in danger. Because like we said, in Islam, the right of life takes precedence over other choices. Therefore, when it comes to between the mother and the child, again, the right of life of the mother is given more importance over here, given that she's a fully formed external being. So there are cases of how Islam goes ahead when it comes to right of life as well.
Okay.
And the fifth must be that both the parents must give consent. So it can't be that the father is forcing the mother to make an abortion, which happens quite often, where sometimes the mother does it without the father's consent, or the father forces the woman to go through abortion. And this is not recognized because both parents have a right to the child.
They're equally involved.
Yes, they're equally involved. And obviously, when it comes to abortion as well, when abortion occurs without
the consent of mother.
Yes. Or even if abortion in general, if it occurs without the consent of the mother, it does bring about a lot of mental health issues for them in the future. And again, we need to address these issues of how women should be helped to deal with post-abortion.
And that trauma.
Yes, the trauma. And even if they are not allowed abortion, there should be some services available for them to get through this period of difficulty for them.
Tough time, yeah.
Yeah, where they're able to deal with what's to come. And in abortion itself, when it comes to Islam's view on abortion, if there's a safe, viable pregnancy and the parents do go ahead and abort the child where they're not legally, Islamically allowed to do so, the rules are quite strict on this. When I was reading through the jurisprudential rules on these issues, it says that they actually have to, according to one of the scholars like Ayatollah Sistani, who's based in Najaf, is a jurist, he says they have to give blood money to the inheritors of the child, they have to fast for 60 days, and they have to seek forgiveness for abortion. And this in itself shows the magnanimity of this issue. The abortion is seen as a crime in itself, such that blood money itself becomes mandatory to be given.
Oh, yeah. So, well, we saw that it becomes a crime in certain cases, but there are still certain cases wherein Islam has a different point of view. It's even allowed somewhere. So we'll discuss more about the topic in another session. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Who is the love one?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illa Allah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Muhammad is the messenger, so Allah is our return. The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and how about listening to another bezel of wisdom from Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, the seventh Imam of the household of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The light of the body is in the eyes. If the sight is luminous, the whole body will be bright. The light of the spirit is in the brain. If a person is really intelligent, he will acknowledge his Lord. If he acknowledges his Lord, he will clearly see his religion. If he ignores the affairs of his Lord, he will be having no religion. Like the body that does not live without a living soul, the religion does not live without true conviction. True conviction is proven only through the mind.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Thank you. Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
A wide range of cutting-edge digital technology is grabbing the limelight at the 2022 China International Fair for Trade in Services, which is underway in Beijing. The exhibition is featuring a wide range of products, including artificial intelligence, virtual reality, metaverse, and 5G. Visitors can be seen taking virtual reality driving lessons and enjoying scenarios, including different road and weather conditions, wearing VR kits. It's the leading and largest comprehensive fair for trade and services in China. This year, an increasing number of traditional service companies are speeding up their transformations, resorting to smart technologies. The event has set up 9 thematic exhibitions, including cultural and tourism services, education and sports services, hygiene and health services, engineering, consulting, and environmental services. Foam is fun to play with, particularly for kids, but when it's mixed with art, it also becomes a grown-up matter. And that's what a German artist has done, creating a sea of rainbow-colored foam as an interactive art piece and allowing the audience to enjoy themselves and become part of the art. Colors mixed by Stephanie Luning were turned into rainbow-hued foam cascading down the stairs. The performance was called Island of Foam, version 18. Excited children jumped in as soon as the bubbly sea reached the base of the stairs, delighted to be playing in the rainbow playground. The art piece is made up of largely of water and a food coloring. The artist says she loves working in public spaces and reaching a broad audience of all ages.
Because I like to be surprised by the result myself, and I like to work with this that you never know how it's going to turn out. You have the wind, the weather conditions, the locations, the audience. You never know how the people are going to respond and how the artwork turns out. And that's really what I like a lot, and also how to reach a broad audience.
However, Stephanie says there's tons of work behind all the fun, and cleaning up the mess can be hard. Interactive art is a form of art that achieves this purpose by involving the audience. The immersive art piece is part of the Greenwich and Docklands International Festival, an annual festival of performing arts and outdoor theatre.
Tehran Saray Gallery takes part in a massive art exhibition in South Korea, bringing Iran's leading and emerging artists to the Asian market. Works from 6 Iranian painters are displayed at the event, where hundreds of galleries account for more than $50 million in sales annually. Frank Smith reports from Seoul.
Seoul's annual global art exhibition has been reinvigorated this year with additional events and a most certain boost in attendance. The Korea International Art Fair continues an evolution that began with its launch back in 2002. This year features 164 galleries and more international exhibitors than ever before. That growing cosmopolitan experience and this region's growth as an art market hub is what brought a premier Iranian gallery to Seoul.
When we start this gallery, we had the big goal to just introduce Middle Eastern artists and Iranian artists to all over the world. So when you want to introduce artists, you cannot forget South Korea and Far East as well.
Sarai had participated in last year's art fair with paintings purchased by local Korean collectors. Expanding on that success at the event and as Iranian artists are growing in international stature, Hassan Saradipour decided to display works from 6 Iranian artists at this year's event.
Our gallery focuses on the established and emerging artists. This artist, Abbas Nasashamlu, he just wants to show that how the nature and how the human can affect to each other, how this experience can bring it on the canvas, on the paper.
The massive exhibition featured paintings, although there were various multimedia and sculpture installations. As South Korean living standards have risen, more people have time and money to spend on such events. Their taste in art has also become more sophisticated.
South Korea used to lack art galleries compared to other countries. There was a serious lack of love for this level of culture. However, now these events, I think, create opportunities for more people to gain such appreciation.
For the first time this year, Freeze Art Fair in Seoul exhibited works from 110 galleries, including Picasso, other 20th century masters, and contemporary talents. Frank Smith, Seoul.
An Iranian movie wins the grand prize for the best film in this year's Moscow International Film Festival. In its international debut, No Prior Appointment won the Best Film and the Best Actress awards. The movie is a product of Farabi Cinema Foundation and directed by Behruz Shoaibi in Iran in 2021. It is the story of a girl named Yasaman who returns to Iran from Germany after her father's death. A short stay in her father's hometown and meeting those who know him leads her to a new understanding of humans and the concept of death. The 44th edition of the Moscow International Film Festival was held this year from September 4 to 11.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Animals, no matter pets or wild, are more vulnerable to drowning or dying in resulting floods and mudslides. A veterinarian school in Pakistan is offering free treatment for animals injured in the recent devastating floods. The veterinary surgery department of Sindh Agriculture University has set up a makeshift animal hospital as flooding hit humans and animals alike in the surrounding area. Volunteers have been providing anything from surgery to medicine and even ultrasounds to the animals free of cost. People from flood-affected areas can be seen bringing their farm animals such as goats, donkeys, buffaloes, and cows to the center. The worst floods in history have killed an estimated 800,000 farm animals. But there were many heartwarming videos trolling on social media showing people come to rescue animals being stuck hopelessly.
Iran is famous for its hand-knotted carpets and ancient art which have been loved for centuries and are never going out of style despite changing tastes and increased competition from Asia. Striking geometric shapes that recall 20th century abstract art are what we expect to see in handmade Iranian rugs. But weavers and exporters have been forced to redesign a tradition dating back more than 2,000 years due to numerous problems. Carpet exporter Ahad Azimzadeh says, however, that a revolution is on the way. Iranian rugs are known for dense, curving floral designs in rich colors. They were put on display in a recent exhibition that featured a rug with small squares of hypnotic diagonal blue and white lines and another depicting diamond and other patterns in gold silk. Some countries have overtaken Iran in the global market, but many say modern carpets will never replace the traditional ones which are deep-rooted in Iranian culture. These days, computer technology is impacting every aspect of our life, providing a greater ability to place things, events, and people within context. An Iraqi museum has started using the technology and virtual reality headsets to make exhibits interactive and to bring scenes back to life. Visitors can explore heritage sites destroyed by terrorist groups. Now using thousands of photographs, a group of local engineers have given a virtual rebirth to five historic sites in Mosul and the broader Nineveh province. That includes a mosque and its leaning minaret. But this museum brings sites back to life for the people who live in Mosul. Although large parts of the old city remain oceans of debris, authorities are trying to restore historic sites, mosques and churches in Mosul. A private museum along the Tigris River, which opened in mid-June, saw more than 4,000 visitors in its first month. The floating cinema of unknown waters is back in the Italian city of Venice, and spectators are getting buoyant to reach the annual Open Sea Film Festival. On board rowing boats, motorboats, gondolas, and whatever capable of floating, spectators sail to the shallows behind the Giudecca Island for this one-of-a-kind cinematic experience. The audience can watch the program from their own boat or a barge with chairs for those without floating transportation. The event consists of a series of screenings, performances, and presentations on a floating platform and is held for 12 nights in the Venetian Lagoon.
A new bird species has been discovered on the southernmost islands of the Americas. Biologists are baffled.
Discovering new bird species is very, very difficult and rare because the world has been more focused on observing birds. Therefore, this means the discovery site is unique in the sub-Antarctic zone, on which Chile has important sovereignty. This raises the importance of caring for the environment and unique ecosystems, as these sites will allow us to carry out research on climate change, new species and behaviors.
The tiny bird weighs only 16 grams and has a large beak with black and yellow streaks along its body. Researchers say the animal is a subcategory of a species typically found in the Patagonia forest and inhabits tree trunks. But the newly discovered cousin has surprised scientists as it learned to burrow and live in a harsh tundra climate with bitter temperatures. The Diego Ramirez archipelago, where the bird was found, is an isolated bit of land. It also lacks mammalian predators and woody plants. Biologists and researchers from Chilean universities and various academic centers studied the birds for 6 years before announcing the new species. The next moonshot is finally getting closer. NASA says it's ready to test its next-generation rocket ship on an epic launch set for August the 29th as part of its mission to send people to the moon.
This new deep space exploration system is going to take us back to the moon and to new science discoveries that we can't even imagine yet. NASA is about to make history with this first flight of the Artemis program.
The mega rocket combines the Space Launch System, or SLS, and the Orion crew capsule it will carry to space. The rocket is due to blast off for a test drive from the U.S. base Kennedy Space Center, sending an empty crew capsule around the moon and back to the Earth. The Artemis 1 test flight is planned to take 6 weeks. It's meant to rigorously stress the systems to determine whether the vehicle is ready to safely carry astronauts. The program aims to establish a long-term lunar colony as a stepping stone to the even more ambitious future voyages that will send people to Mars. The SLS represents the biggest new vertical launch system NASA has built since those flown in the 1960s and 70s. story will tell you about what could be the bright side of climate change. And that's the discovery of dinosaur tracks dating back to 113 million years ago. The tracks were found in the U.S. state of Texas, where drought has dried up parts of Paluxy River. Experts say the tracks belong to a two-legged dinosaur with small arms and weighing 7 tons. They say dinosaurs made the prints as they roamed muddy areas over 100 million years ago. The prints were then covered over with sediment due to a flood. And after that, they turned into limestone, protecting the prints. The experts say the tracks have not been seen either before or in decades.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Almighty Allah, dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, dear listeners of today's special from IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum and welcome. We're talking about the concept of sacrifice in the view of Islam. I invite you to listen to us. حولي الرمال تلفني بل من ورائي واللحد يحكي ظلمة فيها ابتلائي والنور خط كتابه أنسي لقائي. Today, Thursday, is the 11th of Safar, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 17th of Shahrivar, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 8th of September, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is verse 111 of chapter At-Tawbah from the Holy Quran. We'll listen to it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة يقاتلون في سبيل الله فيقتلون ويقتلون وعدا عليه حقا في التوراة والإنجيل والقرآن ومن أوفى بعهده من الله فاستبشروا ببيعكم الذي بايعتم به وذلك هو الفوز العظيم.
Indeed, Allah has purchased from the believers their lives and their properties in exchange for that they will have paradise. They fight in the cause of Allah, so they kill and are killed. It is the true promise binding upon him in the Torah and the Gospel and the Quran. And who is truer to his covenant than Allah? So rejoice in your transaction which you have contracted, and it is that which is the great attainment.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In this verse, by applying a delicate simile, the Quran points to intensive love of the believers to holy struggle in the way of Allah. It symbolizes their deed to a transaction and a bargain. Usually, there are four essential elements in every bargain. These four factors are seller, customer, the ware to be transactioned, and the price. In this splendid spiritual transactions, the seller is a believer, the customer is Allah, the ware to be transactioned is the soul and the wealth of the believers, and its price is the eternal paradise. Allah, 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 ma lana mawlan siwa Allah. Allah, 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 ma lana mawlan siwa Allah. Kullama This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're speaking about Islam and sacrifice. Islam is not just one gift among many. It is the choicest gift of Allah. You can find this concept in chapter Al-Ma'idah, that is chapter 5, in the Holy Quran, verse 3. Out of all the countless bounties and blessings that Allah has given to us to enable us to live our lives in this world, the greatest and the most important is that He, Allah, has guided us to the true meaning and purpose in our lives. That purpose and that meaning is to live for Him, to strive to seek His pleasure, and even to die in His way. Instead of living like animals, being born, eating and drinking, procreating and dying, we live in a meaningful existence. Life is thus lift up from being a transient, fleeting moment in history, terminable at death, to an eternal event. Our existence is no more directed to merely coveting and acquiring the blessings and bounties that abound in this world. Instead, the way is open to turn this world's possessions into everlasting benefits to be reaped in that world, sometimes by taking and enjoying them gratefully, sometimes by giving them up.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binastain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the sacrifice and its role in people's lifestyle. Sometimes sacrifice may be on the individual level. For example, when someone, starves hunger or thirst, and you have both food and drink, but you give your own food and drink to a person who needs it, who is in dire need of receiving food and drink for survival, it's a kind of sacrifice on individual level. Another type of sacrifice is on the social level. On the social or societal level, we find that for example, defending the frontiers of the country, or defending the ideological or doctrinal borders of the country or of the nation, is another kind of sacrifice. Right after the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran, the ex-Ba'athist Party, of Iraq under Saddam Hussein, attacked the Iranian territories. Well, for around for 8 years, everybody, in the nation, was ready to go the war front and to combat and fight the enemy soldiers and the offenders. Many of those people who went to the battlefields were martyred, and they martyred in order to rescue the whole nation and country from the hands of the enemy soldiers. Now we find that those people who were injured, who remained infirm for the rest of their lives, they are regarded as evidence and certainly as proofs regarding a practical sacrifice, not a theoretical sacrifice of a sacrifice at the level of discourse or at the level of talking, rather sacrifice at the level of giving their own lives in practical terms against, in the way of defending the nation, the rights of the nation.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
From the things to sacrifice for the sake of Allah, we're each to something you love. Sometimes we have to give up something or someone we love for the sake of Allah. Whether it's our dream job or a person we love, sometimes the things we love can come between us and Allah. In these cases, difficult choices have to be made. There is good news for the person who takes this difficult step, however. The Prophet said, "Verily, you will never leave anything for the sake of Allah Almighty, but that Allah will replace it with something better." This hadith is full of hope and reassurance. Allah is so merciful. Not only does Allah give you the equivalent of what you left for His sake, but He gives you better. The topic is about Islam and sacrifice, and in this part we'll look at Karbala, an unforgettable sacrifice for Islam. Among all the possible stakeholders that could conceivably mount opposition to the regime, Imam Hussein alayhi salam was the only one who was willing, nay, duty-bound to respond to the Holy Quran's call to action on behalf of the Muslim society as a whole. The Imam's dilemma was that he could not surrender to Yazid's demand for an oath of allegiance to legitimize his authority, yet he did not have the power to fight him militarily. He was all alone, with no significant base of support. However, as the eldest surviving member of the progeny of the Prophet and the anointed Imam, the appointed Imam of the Muslim community, he was still responsible. For responsibility is born out of awareness and faith, not power or possibility. The post-Muhammad New Age of ignorance was darker and scarier than the pre-Islamic Old Age of ignorance. Giving lectures to re-educate the people would no longer suffice, as deviations extended beyond a few individuals and permeated the entire society. The Imam, Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, had to choose a dramatic action to reawaken the community.
This is what the Imam says in the hadith. He says about the mu'min, al-mu'min nafsuhu minhu fi ta'ab wa nas minhu fi raha. That he's always tiring himself so that he what? So that he relieves other human beings. This is the quality of a mu'min. So this is with huququllah. And the entire revolution of Karbala, why did Imam Hussein even go out to Karbala and revolt? Was it for dunya? Never. Imam al-Hussein knew he was going to get killed. It was because of the religion, Islam. Because he felt responsibility. He knew it was an obligation towards his faith that Yazid is destroying Islam. He's not going to stay quiet in his house. He went to Karbala only because he wanted to what? He wanted to preserve the religion of Rasulullah. It's also Huququllah Azza wa Jal. That I don't just say I don't care about the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, I have to say something when my religion is hijacked. That's why he said when he was asked, why are you going to Karbala? He was going to Kufa initially. They stopped him in Karbala. He says, إِنَّمَا خَرَجْتُ لِطَلَبِ الْإِصْلَاحِ Reform. أُرِيدُ أَنْ آمُرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَأَنْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ I want to join the good and forbid the evil. I have no interest for myself. It's only the interest of the religion of Allah and the Muslim Ummah. He had that felt, he had that sense of responsibility. Because in front of him, he was always thinking about Huququllah Azza wa Jal.
Dear friend, inshallah, we continue our discussion on the next episode of today's special. Until then, wassalamu alaikum.
مماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.